of 9. You're hearing Greenland with Art Bell.
Hugh takes a kind of a slam at you.
Okay.
You willing to hear it?
Sure.
All right. Hey, Art. I'm sorry I've got to be so cynical. However, I really get sick and tired of hearing someone on a show like this present these bizarre events, and most of what I hear is an endless litany of their qualifications. I think your guest's ego is so big that her perception of reality is distorted. If she has some real evidence, let's hear it. The evidence should stand on its own with her list of so-called accomplishments. I'm also tired of hearing nothing but a bunch of hearsay evidence from a bunch of people who want desperately to believe in any kind of conspiracy that can be imagined. We live in a society where people butcher their own kids to the tune of 1.6 million every year. It comes as no surprise to me that there are some sick people out there who get off on butchering animals. Scott, KOH, Reno. Linda?
Well, either this man was not listening in the first part of the program. I mean, we did hear directly from a rancher who has had 11 mutilated animals, describing his own reaction to them from the standpoint that they were not predator, so we've eliminated that. And the idea that we would have now almost 45 some cases, that's hard evidence, it's not circumstantial, it's not speculative, of working with pathologists on tissue examination where we have confirmed the tissue has been cut with high heat, that's a hard medical science, that's not speculation.
That's right.
That is not the work of somebody just going out in a prairie being able to take down an animal and do this. And the caller is not addressing at all the history of phenomena that have been reported now for 30-some years worldwide. The photographs and the bodies and the medical evidence, the necropsies in which it's on record. This man is apparently not reading my books or looking at the documentaries or studying the research. Seems to be more interested in making some kind of a sweeping statement about egos, which he doesn't know anything about, because anybody who would have walked in my shoes for the last 14 years would know how difficult this is. It is just overwhelming to constantly be trying to deal with facts and present them to the public.
Linda, I've been doing this now for years.
Right.
And it strikes me that this man is one of those who responds to this kind of material, no matter what kind of careful presentation is made, with anger.
Right.
And there are a certain number of people who absolutely get red-faced, angry about this kind of thing, and I'm not sure if it's a religious response or it's a fear-based response. I'm not certain, but I know a lot of people like this, Linda.
Yes, and there was a rancher that I interviewed in my new film, Strange Harvest 93, and she said it about as well as anybody I've ever heard. She said people are in denial. She said it's a coping mechanism. If they deny it, it doesn't exist, it goes away, and they don't have to deal with it, think about it, or handle the implications. I think this caller falls in that kind of a category, because when you do deal with the facts, and I am one of the few who's trying very hard to work with scientists and medical people, and you do find that there are physical traces and measurable differences, whether you're dealing with animals or the crop circles, we haven't even talked about the crop circles.
That's right.
Or the physical impacts in some of the abduction cases, not all, physical traces in backyards as well as cereal crop fields. There's much that is measured, is analyzed, can be picked up and handled in a lab, and that's what I and a few others have been trying to do. So when people get so enraged when we are talking about evidence, it suggests to me that when you're actually facing harder facts and not speculation, that some people become more upset because it's harder to deny.
Yeah, it also seems to me that to complain about reciting one's qualifications If you had come on here without qualifications,
he'd
have been the first to raise hell about that. Why are you putting somebody on who has no qualifications? So it's kind of an odd complaint.
On the
wild card line, you're on the air with Linda Howe.
This is Fritz from Phoenix calling. First of all, Linda, just disregard this man's thoughts. This person is still asleep and he has to yet to be awakened. Anyhow, Linda, a couple weeks ago you brought up the Ed Walters new photos.
Right.
And it's my conclusion that Ed obviously has been chosen by the Grays to be their photographic agent in North America. Why doesn't Ed go a little further and get some information what their next movies, I'm talking about the Grays, and maybe what's geologically in with planet Earth?
Well, I know Ed well enough to know that he himself does not understand what's going on. He is the first to say, I don't know why this object showed up when I have my camera. He is not claiming to have any inside knowledge, really, about whether it is gray or humanoid or anything else. But Ed does seem to have a timing ability to be in the right place at the right time to photograph some of these things. That's peculiar. Some people do. I don't think that any of us could say that there's an intelligence, or that we have proof that an intelligence is picking out a particular person for, let's say, photographing. I don't think Ed would say that, but he and others have gotten some good photographs that at least Bruce McAbee, the physicist at the Department of the Navy in Washington.
How have his latest photographs been received?
He feels that there's not a single question. They couldn't have been hoaxed, that the object was, I believe, 60-some feet in diameter, that it actually obscured one of the jets in the air, that from Bruce's point of view, Ed got two photos of some kind of an anomalous silver object, at least 60-some feet in diameter, in the air at the same place as a jet seemed to be scrambled around whatever this object was. And that, from Bruce's point of view, that begins to be hard evidence. Other people could argue, well, this kind of stuff can be made on a computer. But he had 35-millimeter negative film that he was shooting on.
Right. All right, back to the phones, and on the first-time caller line, you're on the air with Linda Howe. Where are you calling from, please?
I'm calling from Bellevue, KVI. My
name's
Martha.
Hi, Martha.
Hi. I have been trying to call about crop circles. I understand that there was a sighting in Chehalis, and I'd like to go see it on July 12th and wanted to know if she knew anything about it. And I'd also like to ask her if she thinks there's any connection with the crop circles and UFOs.
All right, thank you. Crop circles and UFOs, I guess the answer is a general yes. What about the Chehalis circles, Linda?
Well, yeah, I'll come back to that. The general yes, it's a very complicated answer about the link. But Chehalis, I've had phone calls now from three different people who have called to tell me that the Chehalis formation was definitely hoaxed. One person said that they knew who had done it. It's very controversial. Iris, who is with North American Crop Circle, study there. She likes the formation. So right now the Chehalis has a big question mark around it. But just recently there was another 150-foot long formation up in Windsor, Ontario, Canada. And I've seen drawings and I'm getting videotape of that, and it appears to be more of the circle corridor overlapping arcs, mm-hmm. bars that we've seen in England and other countries for the last few years. And while this is happening in the United States and Canada, over in England, I got a call this morning from a friend of mine, Lisa Rome, about an airplane ride that she took just this past week over wheat fields in England, in which she said there are about a dozen crop formations that resemble scorpions, beetle insects, a large eye. It's becoming increasingly bizarre over there. And even though people will argue, well, maybe they're all hoaxes, we know that in the past, and even this year from Canada and the United States, F11Good has already found the same growth node enlargement, growth node orientation, the splitting of the growth nodes in a formation from Michigan, another formation that came from Oregon. And so he's waiting to get plants from some of these formations.
You know what would be an interesting control check, Linda? To take some samples from something that had been obviously hoaxed.
He's done that many times.
And then apply the same testing regime.
Yeah, he has done that many times. And in the hoax plants, the known hoax plants, there is none of the growth node swelling, growth node reorientation, changes in seeds, burst nodes. It doesn't exist in the hoaxes.
All right, good enough. Glad I asked.
And one other just further point. There is, to date, July, it was the MUFON conference, and I did that interview with George Wingfield, who described having talked with people off the record about seeing a silver disc over a wheat field in which a circle formed before their eyes, and it looked like a fan opening up for
right.
those who heard that show. The problem is George has never been able to get those people on the record, and so it remains as a speculative or at least a circumstantial report. Colin Andrews reported in, I think it was around 1991, that there was a crew from, I think it was Canada, and they were flying over a formation near, I think it was Silbury Hill, and there were something like 11 circles in a wheat field. And that night, somewhere around midnight, the farmer saw a huge orange glowing light moving down into the wheat field, could see the tree line in between him and the orange light, so that the trees were silhouetted against the enormous orange light. It scared him, and he didn't go into the field until the next morning after the sun was up, and there was a 12th, I believe it was, circle. Now, again, he didn't see the orange light make the circle. The circumstantial link is there was this strange thing in the wheat field that scared the farmer who found the circle the next morning.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, the link between the alleged UFO phenomena and the crop circle has been that kind of not really direct eyewitness as much as circumstantial.
All right. On the toll-free line, you're on the air with Linda Howe. Hello.
Yeah, Mike from San Diego.
Hi, Mike.
Yeah, I'd like to know if they had any measurable electromagnetic or radiation effects from the cattle that are similar to the crop circles that I've heard about.
Oh, that is a good question, actually. All right, Linda?
Well, let me see. I think I understand that what you mean is with the energy, whatever it is, that's interacting with the plants and causing the changes in the cell water of the plants, possibly be the same as with the animal.
That's right.
It's a very interesting question, and I know that Dr. Levengood and I have talked about this concerning this Garnett, Kansas case that I discussed a couple of weeks ago. Here we've got an oval in a wheat field. It's about 1/6 of a mile from where a heifer was found, also in a kind of downed circle of grass. And when Dr. Levengood looked at the wheat plants taken from that oval that the farmer thought might be helicopter downdraft because he had heard the sounds of a helicopter coming from the wheat field direction, and we got the samples just to see what they would look like, and in all of the wheat samples, Dr. Levengood found all these changes. And his own hypothesis is that the energy, whatever it is that's interacting, and is not the downdraft from the helicopter that will not swell growth nodes and reorient growth nodes and cause changes in cell structure in the seeds, that will not happen from helicopter downdraft. So he has, over the past 4 years, taken wheat and barley and different crops and put them in just a simple microwave oven to see if knowing what the time exposure was, could he duplicate any of those changes? And when he has put plants in a microwave oven with a certain energy, up to approximately 29 or 30 seconds, he gets some of the changes, not all. But the thing that is amazing to him is if they were left in the presence of that microwave any longer, the plants would be cooked. And we've never found cooked plants.
God.
In the cows or the other animals, when we find the hemoglobin cooked at the excision line, it's well known, it's established. Medicine is a hard science. That's how, why you can have a biopsy done and a pathologist looks at tissue and knows whether it's cancerous or something else. When Dr. Altshuler or any pathologist looks at this tissue under a microscope, if the hemoglobin is cooked, it's called a late blood phenomenon. It actually has an orange color under a microscope and is quite distinct. The temperature to cause that effect has to be somewhere around 300 degrees Fahrenheit. Well, that is a different kind of interaction. That's a searing, burning of the tissue. Whereas in the plants continue to grow uncooked, unaffected, except for these strange biochemical and biophysical
changes. So the answer is it would appear to be a different energy.
Something different.
All right. On the toll-free line, you're on the air with Linda Howe. Where are you calling from, please?
KEX, Portland, Oregon.
Portland, yes, sir.
Linda, have you heard about the criminals that scam wealthy or desperate people that need transplants but can't wait to go through the system? I hear a lot of these mutilations can be attributed to this, where they show the mark, cow eyeball or liver, and claim it comes from a poor Mexican or something. Have you found any evidence of this kind of activity in your research?
Well, if you're suggesting that anyone could go out into pastures and take tongues, eyeballs, and genital area and ears from cows, and then end up using those parts in some kind of human surgery?
That's what he's suggesting.
I think any transplant surgeon in the world would tell you, if we can't take the heart from one human and put it in the chest of another human without major autoimmune reactions rejection, when they have the problems with rejection, you're not going to be able to take parts from cows and use them in humans. I mean, that's just...
Makes sense to me, too. Wildcard line, you're on the air with Linda Howe. Hello.
Hello, this is Fred, Missoula, Montana.
Hi, Fred.
KLCY.
Yes, sir.
Two questions, actually. I'd like to know if hypnotic regression has been used on any of the folks that have seen the silent black helicopters to see if it is a false memory.
There was one case in which I worked on this one with Bud Hopkins. He was a farmer in the Midwest. He was on a tractor. He saw what he thought was a helicopter land near some hay that he was going back to bale, and he saw what he thought were blonde humanoid forms around the helicopter. And when Bud worked with hypnosis with that farmer, when he got to that part of the scene, I remember the farmer became very, very agitated and surprised in his regression that the helicopter was actually a round silver disc and that the blonde humanoids weren't blonde humanoids but were some other kind of being. That's the one case that I know where I've heard myself the regression and... it involves specifically a helicopter that...
All right. What I'm going to do is ask you both to hold on. The caller has one more question, so hang on. We'll be back to you in a moment. You're listening to Dreamland on the CBC Radio Network. My guest is Linda Moulton Howe, normally featured at the beginning of each one of these programs on a weekly basis. So stay right where you are. There is more to come. 2 FM.
Broadcast at this time.
Whoa.
from the Kingdom of Nye. We continue with your calls on Dreamland with Art Bell. Call Art now, toll-free at 1-800-618-8255. 1-800-618-PALK. First-time callers, area code 702-727-1222. 702-727-1222. Or the wildcard line at area code 702-727-1295. 727-1295 in the 702 area code. Now again, here's Art Bell.
Now again, here I am back to Linda Howe in just a moment. Now to Linda Bolton Howe. Linda?
Yeah.
We have a caller who I believe hung in there, and he had one other question. Right. Caller, are you there?
I sure am.
Go right ahead, sir.
Last year I attended a UFO conference at which a gentleman, I believe he was from Brazil, presented what he thought was a human mutilation case.
Yes, I'm familiar with it. I have the photos. The problem is I've shown that to a medical doctor and asked about the black, that there's black, it looks almost like carbon around holes that go into the flesh.
Right.
And the medical doctor said that that reminded him of napalm, or what napalm does to human flesh. Now, it is possible
the following program
that
has been pre-recorded
some kind
for broadcast
of human revenge
at this time.
Murder, and that napalm was used, and the whole story may be something at a terrestrial level, and this is my problem with it. There is no evidence that I know of that ties that body to anything that was anomalous. It's just a very terrible-looking murder.
Yeah, it was pretty gross. Are you aware of any other cases that might involve humans?
All right, thank you. We'll hold it there. Linda, that's a good question.
Yes, that question comes up. You hear rumors, but that is the problem. If I personally feel that we don't have any evidence for any major concern in terms of human mutilation. If there were any, they have to be so small in number that we're not aware of them, because I've never seen a coroner's report or any hard evidence, and I know other researchers who have tried, and they don't have hard evidence. So that remains in that issue of, well, if it's happening to the cattle and the horses and stuff, it must be happening to humans.
Right.
That may not be true. It may be that the human abduction syndrome is the other part of the interaction in which people are basically, they appear to be, returned at least alive, even if there's amnesia and other traumas, and the animals are what are handled in this other way.
All right. Wild card line, you're on the air with Linda Howe. Hi.
Hi. Art, this is Darkman, KVI.
Yes.
Got a couple questions, and then I'll listen up here. How close to the Seattle area have there been reports of any kind of UFO activity? That's my first question. And my second question is, with all the UFO activity that's been reported over, you know, countless years, has there been any evidence at all that there is some, maybe another race that has discovered us, and maybe some rivalry between? I realize this is kind of an outlandish question, but has there been any evidence at all of any kind of conflict? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Conflict, you mean between those who might be here?
Correct.
All right. Linda, that one first.
Okay. In 1990, a man corresponded with me to an intermediary by FedEx only. And a long story short, when after about a year of this, we finally had a meeting. My problem is, in situations like that, people can say anything to me and they can show ID. I still can't prove it. But his basic contention was that he had worked inside of a very classified office on the executive branch of our government, and that he was a spy on spies on spies in the SDI program. And he asked me, based on meetings where he had been in attendance and the discussion was some other kind of life form or intelligence involved with our planet, he asked me if I knew what Earth's secret war was about. And I said to him, you mean with all of your clearances and being a spy and spy of SDI scientists, you don't know? He said, no, I've heard it discussed, but I don't know what the issue is. if there is a conflict between two or more things that are non-human entities, and our government has knowledge about their conflict, that's one possibility. It's also part of the scenario has been suggested that we, the Earth human government, may feel it has an ally in something out there against something else.
Yes.
So that it is a two-way conflict between non-human entities and non-human entities, with us, our government, feeling an alliance with one of the non-human entities against something else.
Wow.
Now, that's another possibility. If there's anybody listening in our Dreamland audience, which is growing across the United States, who feels they have any hard information about what Earth's secret war might be, and when I say hard information, I mean people who have worked in military or intelligence and who feel they could communicate to me in some non-public, confidential way, I certainly would be interested in seeing what other information people might have.
All right, and let me add this, it's a good time. Linda Moulton Howe, who you're listening to, has done a number of significant things that you can get your hands on. She's done a recent documentary, Strange Harvest 1993, which is available on videotape for $35. She also has a very revealing book, absolutely chock full of pictures, called Glimpses of Other Realities, which is $45. So whether you would like one of her publications or videotapes, or you would like to speak to her about an incident, there are two ways. One is to write to her at Post Office Box 538, Huntingdon Valley, Pennsylvania. That's Huntingdon Valley, Pennsylvania, zip code 19006, or call area code 215-491-9840. 215-491-9840. Is that about right, Linda?
That's right, and I certainly hope that some of our listeners will try to get some of these books and videos, because I've worked so hard trying to synthesize the harder data, and I think it's important for people to know it's there and can be accessed.
All right, good. On the wild card line, you're on the air with Linda Howe. Hello? Well, no, you're not. On the toll-free line, you're on the air with Linda Howe. Good evening.
Yes, I'm afraid I'm going to have to shut off my radio. Can you hold on a second?
Yes, indeed. Remember to do that, everybody. We have about a six-second delay system here, 7 seconds maybe, and it is very confusing.
This is Carl calling from Spokane.
Yes, Carl.
And I wanted to ask Linda if she ever heard of about something that happened here in Spokane in August of 1972. And it appeared as a huge ball of fire going across the sky. And they said later that it was a meteor. Did you hear anything about that?
I can't place a 1972 event in my mind right at this moment, but it does tie in with the earlier caller's first question, which we didn't really address.
With regard to UFO activity in or near Seattle.
That's right. And over the decades, going all the way back to Kenneth Arnold and those sightings over Rainier,
right.
That was certainly in that general area. And since that time, as recently as in the early part of June, I was speaking in Vancouver, British Columbia, and there was a radio, this was a very active talk show radio program there in Vancouver, and the host of the program had his own sighting of odd moving lights that were forming patterns in the sky, stopping, and he was telling his story as my interviewer, and then talking to me about the incidents that they were having over Vancouver. There were other people reporting. There were also reports down in the Tacoma area recently of people seeing something moving in the sky that was very odd. And I think that whole Northwest region, I remember in my book, Glimpses of Other Realities, I show a photograph of a cow on a farm that was outside of Seattle. And it was a very healthy cow. The farmer kept it close to his house, knew it was alive and well the night before, and in the morning found that cow in the way we've been talking about tonight, could not believe it. And there had also been reports of odd lights in and around his vicinity. So the Northwest, Seattle, Spokane, Tacoma, Vancouver, those are all areas over the last 50 years where there have been reported cycles of these strange events. And what they mean and why there are certain parts of the country that get it more than others, I don't know.
Now, see, the thing about this is this wasn't at night. This was in broad daylight. And it was a huge flaming object.
All right, well, that is, in fact, the way objects re-enter. What reason do you have to believe that it was not a meteor?
Well, I was just, I didn't really. I was just wondering if she'd heard about it.
Okay, well, thank you very much. But that sounds, without additional explanation, like a meteor.
It does sound like a classic meteor, especially if it was going in a straight down or angled, or some of these can go at a horizontal or a pure horizontal trajectory until they hit the ground. The ones that defy explanation are especially the green fireballs that have been reported and scientifically studied, that have come in and even done angular changes in the sky. Now, that's not something that a normal meteor will do.
I have seen green fireballs, Linda, but I always attributed them to some sort of reentering object. But I've seen several of them in Las Vegas. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Linda Howe.
Yes, this is Danny from Mesa, Arizona.
Hi, Danny.
Would you do me a favor and repeat that quote by Neil Armstrong and the date that he said that?
Well, it was about 2 weeks ago, Danny, at the White House while they were celebrating the 25th anniversary of Apollo.
I see. Could you repeat that? I want to kind of write it down. I've got about three quarters of it.
All right. It is a very short quote. There are great ideas undiscovered. Breakthroughs available to those who can remove one of truth's protective layers. There are places to go beyond belief. Neil Armstrong, just about 2 weeks ago. On the wild card, or on the toll-free line, you're on the air with Linda Howe. Hello.
Yes, let me point something out. Earlier I didn't think that we were transplanting cow parts into people. What I wanted to point out...
All right, sir, I'm sorry, but we only allow one call per program. First-time caller line, you're on the air with Linda Howe.
Hi, this is John from Silverdale, Washington.
Yes, sir.
I've got a couple questions. The crop circles, what would somebody actually put those down there for? And there was another question that I had for you, Art, is I'm going to be moving to Boise. Is there a station down there that picks you up?
Yes, there is, and it's KIDO in Boise, Idaho.
Okay, do you know the frequency number?
Not offhand, but when you get to Boise, you'll find it.
Okay.
All right?
Thank you.
You're right.
Yeah, KIDO is a big station. I grew up in Boise, and I'm glad Dreamland is broadcasting there. About his question, why would anyone put these gigantic formations in the middle of crops, fields like wheat, barley, rice paddies in Japan, rapeseed, and in almost every cereal crop now known, and grasses. Well, that's what a whole bunch of people now, for it's going on 12 years, have been trying to find out, because the phenomena actually started back around 1978 in terms of circles that evolved into circles with rings, that evolved into what are called Celtic crosses, that evolved into Celtic crosses that seem to be in a corridor, and the corridors and the Celtic crosses and the circles kept evolving by the year 1990 and 91, especially 89 to 90, and 90 was the year that Time Magazine, Newsweek, all of the major publications, the New York Times, were showing dozens of these formations, some 460 feet long. And the entire world was reporting them in 20-some countries in the year 1990. And in the fall of 1991, for reasons that are still not clear and never have been clear, two old men from a county in southern England were trotted out by a tabloid videotape thing to say that they were responsible for this phenomenon, and all of the world's mainstream media bought that and ran with that as the story. Now, they said that they did it for fun, but that didn't explain at all the same formations in rice paddies in Japan and Australia, the United States and Canada and France and Germany and Russia and all over. And to date, the ones that are truly anomalous, there's never been any explanation from any place why these are there.
And for that man, it is KIDO 630 on the dial in Boise. And on the toll-free line, you're on the air with Linda Howe.
Yes, I'm calling from San Diego.
Yes, sir.
And my question is, what do you wish to accomplish through all your research?
I'd like to know the truth about what is happening with something or something, some other intelligence interacting with this planet. I think that we all should be trying to find that out.
That's a good answer. First time caller line, you're on the air with Linda Howe.
Yeah, hi Art. Hi Linda. First of all, I wanted to ask if you guys had heard anything about a book called The Gods of Eden.
Yeah, I know. Bill Bramley is an attorney who wrote that book, and it started out as a research project in his law career about why do humans fight? Why are there so many wars?
Yeah, it seems to me that would be a good explanation as to why there's so much violence in this society.
As you know, in that book, when he did the research, he kept finding that in many wars and pivotal battles in wars, there had been reports and that they had been logged in histories and diaries about lights in the sky or funnels of light, all sorts of odd things. And one of the most interesting chapters was concerning the plague in the 1300s in Europe, where one-third of the European population was wiped out.
Yeah.
And there were diaries, this is very well documented and footnoted, and he did a great contribution to let readers know that there were reports, village after village, of some kind of entity in a hooded cloak that carried something that looked rod-like in the hand, and that was always associated with a greenish mist or fog in the village the night before the morning when people began dying. And that became the figure of death. Most people don't realize that the figure of death, drawn as a cloaked figure with a scythe collecting souls, goes directly to the European tragedy of one-third of the population being wiped out by a plague. And yet here was this cloaked figure, the rod in the hand, green fog, green light seen in the sky, and Bill made the point in the book, is it possible that something has been manipulating and interacting with this planet down to the point of spreading disease in order to reduce population? He left it as a question mark, but it certainly is an interesting one to contemplate.
Mm. We're very short on time. Wildcard line, you're on the air with Linda Howe. Hi.
Yeah, Texas Bob, San Jose, California.
Very quickly.
Yes, Roswell was a great show this evening. I think Linda will find the end notes very interesting if she has a chance to watch it. I hope you all taped it.
I did tape it.
Good.
All right.
Talk to you later.
All right, thank you. Maybe one more. First time caller line, on the air with Linda Howe. Hi.
Hi.
Go ahead. Turn your radio off.
Am I on the line now?
Turn your radio off, ma'am.
It is.
Okay, good. Yes, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Thank you. Linda.
Yes.
Hi. I'm so glad that I have your telephone number because I'm on a cordless phone and anything can happen.
All right, very quickly, ma'am.
I'm going to be calling you tomorrow anyway about an unbelievable story, but I want to go back to 1955 when I first saw UFOs.
All right, ma'am, this is obviously going to take a while. I'm sorry you're going to have to do it in a telephone call. I'm terribly sorry to have to do that, but Linda, we're out of time.
Okay. Well, Art, as always, it has been a pleasure to do the 3-hour special. I've enjoyed this immensely, and We'll look forward at some point in the future doing it again, and next week I'll be back with a report on whatever is the latest going on somewhere.
All right, Linda, and I would ask that you hold on the line for just a moment, all right?
Sure.
All right, stay right there. I'm sorry, everyone. We're controlled by the clock. And we have, when we've got to go, we've got to go, and we've got to go. So we'll do this once again next week. Linda Howe, who is a regular reporter with us every week, will once again be back. We'll see you then. For everybody at the network, thank you and good night.